This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Good evening, everyone. We are we're doing something a bit special today. It's just me. Just me all on my lonesome. Lizzie Cundy. Did I just hear a cheer out there? Thank you very much. Lizzie Cundy is unavailable. Bloody typical. She is filming for Big Brother. That incredibly successful show. So I'm going to be here all by myself. We have plenty of guests to come up, though, so we don't need to worry too much that it's just going to be me talking into a mic, hoping that you're listening. But I did want to just have a little chat, firstly, all to myself, about the BBC pay news, which I have to say has been quite shocking, I think. I don't know what people have seen, but yesterday there was a big scandal when it was revealed the amount that people have been paid at the BBC. Chris Evans is the highest paid man at the BBC, despite only really seeming to do a radio show. And the highest paid woman, Claudia Winkleman, is on something like a fifth of what he is on. I am incandescent with rage, listeners. This got me fuming. Out of the 96 people, there were only a third of them were women. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Fiona Bruce. I'm a big fan of Tess Daly. So, yeah, raging about that. I don't know. I'm hoping that, given time, things will change. But you never know, do you? Right, I'm bored of the sound of my own voice already. And we're like, what, 1.5 minutes in? So this is good, isn't it? I'm going to play a little song. And then we actually probably have our first guest on the phone ready to go. Great. It's going to be Simon from Love Island. So Love Island fans, this is like, you know, bonus killer material. First up, though, a little bit of Demi Lovato.
Now I'm out here looking like revenge, feeling like a 10, the best I ever been. And yeah, I know how bad it might hurt to see me like this, but it gets worse. Now you're out here looking like regret, ain't too proud to beg, second chance you'll never get. And yeah, I know how bad it might hurt to see me like this, but it gets worse. Now payback, bitch, and baby, I'm the baddest. You fucking with a savage. Can't have this, can't have this. And it'd be nice for me to take it easy, oh yeah. But nah, baby, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There you go, Johnny. I said I'd play it for you, and I did. We've got our first guest on the line right now. Hello, Simon from Love Island.
Hi. How's it going, man? You all right?
Good. How are you?
Very good. I'm very good. How are you?
Yeah, really good. I'm very excited to have you on the line because Love Island is really the talk of the town at the minute. What have you made? Your experience was kind of, you know, brief.
Yes.
What did you make of your time there, and what have you thought about all this drama that's been going on since?
So my time in there, I think, was cut a little bit short. I think it was a bit unlucky, really. I think I just got caught up in a bit of a web with the whole Johnny and Tyler thing.
Yeah.
But sort of like the other drama that's going on in there, it's entertaining for me now. I just kick back and watch it like everyone else.
Is it easy to do though? Because I imagine once you've been in there, you get solid opinions on people, and you know.
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, my opinions of everyone were quite good. So like, when I'm on the outside and I'm watching it, and people are saying this person's coming across bad and stuff, I just find myself like telling them that they're quite good when you meet them in person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it is weird watching it when you've been in there.
Yeah.
And you start watching it on TV. It's a bit strange.
How do you feel about it ending as it did?
For myself?
For you, yeah.
Yeah, I was a bit gutted. I always felt like they should have put me back in there. The whole mic and sound.
Of course you'd think that.
Like, yeah, I always felt like I should have been one of the ones that went back in. But, you know, that's just the way it goes, I think.
Yeah, of course. And obviously, when you went in, there was a lot of tension was caused between Amber and Ken, and now they're kind of the faves. What do you make of that?
Are Amber and Ken the faves?
Yeah.
I'm not making it up. I didn't know that. That was the first time I've heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit of a surprise to most people, but I don't know if there's many solid. I don't know.
No, you could be right. You could be right, because Gabby and Marcel were in the bottom three last night.
Yeah.
So I feel like if I'd have gone in there and just stuck with Amber, I'd have probably still been in there. And if I went in and stuck with Montana, I'd be in there. And if I went in and just tried to take Amber off Kem, I might also still be in there. So
yeah.
I think just sort of me going down the middle and choosing Tyler meant that I came out. But
do you regret
Amber
that?
Did say to me, I do regret it a little bit, but it is what it is. I should have just... So I tried to play it a bit too like cool with everyone, but I did get along with Montana really well as well. So it was a bit of a funny one. But Amber did say to me, my date, if I'd have walked in the start, she'd have probably stepped out for me and we'd still be together, she said. So
yeah,
I don't know. But then me and Montana got along really well. So it was a funny one. It was tough.
Now, earlier on in the series, there was a lot of talk about Gabby and Marcel being like the two... to watch, really, and that seems to have kind of turned a corner now and is not really the case. What do you think's happened there?
I think last night was the first time I realised that, because they were obviously in the bottom three. I think it might be more to do so with like the way Gabby's been towards Marcel, because I think Marcel's been quite consistent with sort of how he feels about Gabby, but Gabby's been a bit up and down and side to side with it, and I think that might have just sort of like put people off, maybe.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
What have you made about how much attention it's getting? Like, I think what's funny about Love Island is obviously it's been on the last 2 years, but this year it just seems to have gone like mental. There's all these T-shirts, and you know, like people are going really crazy for it. Why do you think people connect to it so much?
I think it's a little bit different to sort of some other. Reality TV programs, in a sense of it's quite mild and calm, and it's quite cool. Whereas sort of other ones, it's a bit more raw with people arguing and fighting. And I think it's just put together really well. And I think the casting is the best thing about it. Like the people that they put in sort of all gel together quite well, and it's got like a funny element to it as well. So
yeah,
I don't know. It just is. I think it is by far the best reality TV program.
But do you think, when I've watched it, and I think I'm watching these people, yourself included, you know, and you're talking about falling in love with people, and you know, these are people that you've just met. Is that for the cameras, honestly?
No, all I can say is when you're in there, it's really intense, and like one day literally feels like a week, because you've got no phone. There's no radio, no TV. There's no sounds pumped into the villa. So it's just silence. So days seem really long.
Right.
And you're also not allowed to know the time while you're in there. So
are you not?
You're sort of guessing. No, you're not allowed to know the time at all.
Why is that, do you think?
I'm not sure. It sort of keeps you guessing a little bit. And then you just sort of get given tasks. And there's certain ways you can guess what time it is while you're in there. Marcel's like a human clock, like he can just look at the sky and just sort of, yo, bro, I think it's about 3 o'clock, you know, bro. And it's sort of like, everyone just sort of works off Marcel, like, yo, Marcel, what time is it? Oh, I think it's about 1:30, bro.
That's but, unexpected, an unexpected talent.
yeah, he can do it, he's quite good at it, but, yeah, it's quite intense when you're in there, so I think feelings, because, I mean, if you think about it, and you spend every day with somebody and you sleep with them in bed and stuff like that, you're probably getting like 6 to 8 months worth of dating in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So you probably could fall in love in that time, I reckon.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have yet to believe, I don't honestly believe any of the couples, like, real. Like, I don't kind of believe that any of them are real.
None of them, because I think Chris and Liv are, that's what I genuinely think them two are like. They're battling, they've got like a bit of a power struggle going on, but I think they are genuinely like into each other.
Okay, interesting. What's kind of the plan for you now?
I think I'm just going to sort of like see where it goes, hopefully get some more stuff off the back of it.
You want to do more TV?
Yeah, I'm definitely open to shouts and stuff. My modelling sort of started going a bit better, so yeah.
Oh, that's a good thing.
yeah, it's been quite good.
And
definitely glad I did it.
You've done extra work before, haven't you? You've been in Emmerdale and Corrie and all those kind of things. Is that something you want to do more of?
Nah, not really extra work. I'd rather be in it. If you want to give me a part, my number's 075-34.
Also, you don't have much money as an extra, do you? It's like £100 a day or something.
Yeah, it's that. I think it's like, yeah, 50, 60, 70 quid a day.
Really?
Something like that, yeah.
Do they at least give you food?
I think we got fed, but I think it was like cheese on toast or something.
So not an ideal situation.
I don't think it was brilliant. It's not something I'm in a rush to do again anyway.
Fair enough. So who are you backing to win?
I think I'm gonna vote Chris and Liv.
Okay, why is that?
Yeah, because they're like two of my favourite people in there. Really got along with Chris and Live, both of them.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm going to vote for them. Plus, they tried to keep me in while I was in there. So,
okay.
I love the pair of them. I'm going to vote Chris and Liv.
I see. Okay. Well, it's going to be an interesting night on Monday. I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
I guess we will see. And who wins the money and what they do next. I'm sure a cover, OK magazine cover is imminent. So
yeah, definitely.
Thanks so much for speaking to us, Simon. And
no problem.
Good luck with whatever you're doing next.
All right, thank you, mate. Cheers.
Cheers, bye.
You see, bye-bye.
Yeah, I want you, baby.
Bit of Niall Horan there with Slow Hands. How nice was Simon? I have to say, to be honest, I am not the biggest Love Island fan. If any of you follow me on Twitter, I did post a little article that I wrote just this week. Well, last week, came out this week, about how I'm not the biggest fan of Love Island. But I have to say, Simon was pretty solid, seemed like a pretty solid guy. So last week after the show, I did a little pre-recorded interview with Eureka from this season of RuPaul's Drag Race. I am a huge fan of RuPaul's Drag Race, and Eureka in the last series kind of was the shock exit because she broke her knee. And yeah, so I caught up with her last week to find out all about what's going on with her since, because she's making a return to the next series. So here it is.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
We've been in touch with the doctor. You need time to heal. And in good conscience, I cannot allow you to continue in the competition.
No.
Please know that you are loved here and that you have an open invitation to return next season. But for now, I'm so sad to say, sashay away.
Thank you guys so much. And I will be back. I love you guys.
Hello, Eureka. How are you?
I am fat and fucking fabulous. How are
yes,
you?
Yes, that's what I want to hear. I am excellent. Yeah. I'm very excited to have you on the show because I am a huge Drag Race fan. I'm a gay man in my 30s, of course I am. Tell me a bit about your experience on the show, because so your story is that you went on, then you injured your knee and had to leave, basically. What do you...
Yeah.
Tell me about that experience.
Well, it was amazing, really, ultimately. I mean, I was excited to get to go. I'm from a small town in East Tennessee, so, like, I had never even flown on a plane before.
Really?
Into L.A.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was, like, big gal, small pond, big city, ocean view, like, I don't know. So it was wild and crazy, and it was amazing. It was hard to have to leave, you know, because I hurt myself. Honestly, that's why I tried to, like, last as long as I could. And mm-hmm. if the doctor wouldn't have made me leave, I told him, I said, honey, that bitch will crush her ass all the way to the top and don't care.
That was a bit of a funny... That lip sync was a very odd moment. That's never happened before, obviously. What was it like to watch this lip sync for your life happen and then suddenly realize that your name was being called? What was that moment like?
Well, that whole lycra cat suit in the back had sucked up in my butthole and got real tight on my throat, so I couldn't really breathe. It was just really scary. I was like, in my head, I was thinking, like, okay, what have I done to get disqualified?
You thought you'd done something that the rules didn't allow or something?
Yeah, I was like, did I smoke? Did I take too many smoke breaks? Was I not supposed to eat that snack? Should I not have been taking the snacks home?
You ate one of Rue's snacks.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I was freaking out, like, in my mind, like, oh, what did I do? What did I do? What have I done? Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, since I was on crutches, I was like, oh, God, here we go. They're going to tell me. I actually thought I was going to have to lip sync. They were like, they were going to be like, oh, we actually chose the wrong one. It's actually you that are lip syncing.
Oh, shit.
And I would have popped around, grown, done my thing if I had to. I don't know.
Was it really painful then?
My knee was hurting really bad, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was pretty rough. But the doctor had prescribed me naproxen, so I wasn't able to drink in Untucked anymore, so I was furious.
Oh, it's actually alcohol in Untucked. I always thought it wasn't actually alcohol.
Oh, no, it's actually alcohol, baby.
Okay,
there's
good
so
to know.
There's alcohol in those cocktails. They give you one cocktail, and they're like, you can only have one, but it's all liquor with a tiny bit of taser.
You're like, no problem, girl.
That's why the girls get loose and Alexa starts screaming at people because they didn't tell her to wear a prettier dress.
Oh, yeah, oh my God. One of the most ridiculous things. No, like, actually, no, we did tell you. You just wouldn't listen.
Right.
I mean...
She's mad.
I mean, obviously, the payoff at the end was that you get to go back next season. So, actually,
yeah.
It's kind of all worked out all right. And have you filmed that yet, or is it about to be filmed, I think?
You know, I have no comment to that.
Okay, okay. Oh, it's,
about to say.
It's kept secret.
I got an NDA, girl. Y'all ain't
fine.
My check.
That's fine. That's fine. We understand that. That's not a problem. What did you make of the final? There's been a lot of controversy about this year's final because it was different to how they've done it previously. What did you make of it?
I loved it. I thought it's I think it's the most fair way the ending of the show's ever played out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it makes it a real competition. And in a real competition, you know, anything can happen at any moment. You can slip up at any moment. And, you know, yeah, I think that things that have happened over the season should come into account in a very small percentage. And I think that was held true this year. You know, it was literally, what are you going to bring till the bitter end? And that's what makes an amazing competition. So I lived for it.
Okay. Okay. That's good to hear. What did you make of the reunion show? There was obviously a bit of drama surrounding Valentina and how she...
Oh, honey.
How she'd kind of fallen out with some of the... Well, not even fallen out. She just kind of closed herself off from the other girls. What did you make of that?
Well, I don't know why they were surprised. She was like that during filming, too. She's a very separated person because, you know, she was raised in L.A. L.A. can be very cutthroat at times, especially in the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not really been raised around, like, the whole drag family, we get along and we're a gay community that's together kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that plays a part.
Yeah, because she actually had only been a drag queen for a short while before the show. Is that right?
Well, or so she says.
Oh, you think? Okay. Okay, girl.
Y'all know I'm a big old fat, messy bitch, right?
And you live for the drama. What was it like, though, when you actually filmed that? And there was the kind of anger towards her, really, because she won Miss Congeniality. Was it Congeniality?
Yeah, it's called Miss Congeniality, yeah. But Aja called it Miss Fan Favorite.
That's it. I remember. So what was that like in the room at the time?
I don't know. I mean, it was just, it was a little much. Of course, I was like, oh, yes, girls get messy. But, I mean, I don't know if I necessarily disagree or agree. I mean, one thing about Valentina is, no, she doesn't go out of her way to, like, be especially nice to everyone, but she is kind to everyone. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So she's not a horrible person. Yeah.
No, she's not nasty. She's not mean. You know, the girls were very bitter and jealous with her because the judges loved her and because she was turning it out and they didn't expect her to turn it out the way she did.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, queens are going to get immediately territorial and start, you know, bucking up against her. But she held her own and I thought she was lovely. I mean, I still love her to this day. And I don't know. It made for some amazing TV, and there was a lot of tension that the girls obviously needed to get out. They were able to.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that the people were more upset with her fans than actually her. You know? They were just upset with her because they felt like she didn't have their back.
And so, yeah, for those that don't know, her fans were very, like, antagonistic towards the other queens, weren't they? And death threats
harassing,
and all this kind of thing. It was pretty unpleasant. Obviously, you mentioned that this was the first time you'd ever been at, like, you know, away. Have you managed to go to travel the world yet, or is that still to come?
I wanted to hold off on traveling overseas as far as out of the country until towards the end of this year and maybe the beginning of next year, just because I really wanted to make sure my knee was completely healed.
Oh, was it that,
took, like,
was it that bad? Was it really that bad?
Well, yeah, I had ACL reconstruction surgery on my left knee. I tore my ACL completely.
Whoa, that is intense. I didn't realize it was that bad. That's, wow.
Yeah, a lot of people don't really realize, I guess, that it was that bad, but that's why I had to go. I mean, I had to have surgery as quickly as possible.
God, I mean, if people knew that, that's a whole different ballgame. Are you recovered now, or are you still kind of...
Yeah, I'm very well on the recovery. Like, I'm healed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As far as, like, wound, et cetera. And I'm just gaining more strength back into my knee every day. That's what takes the time, is getting your knee back to the strength that it was originally.
Yeah.
And at the same point, you may never be as strong as it was. You know, that's the thing about an ACL tear. So it's a little rocky, but me and my knee have this beautiful relationship now.
You know her intimately.
Together, yeah. I rub her nipples while I jack off. Like, it's just, you know.
How lovely. Well, and what did you make of Sasha winning? I think she really kind of grew in the show, and it was actually quite a nice story. What did you make of her victory?
I absolutely adore Sasha. I was literally rooting for her, like, from the beginning almost, just mm-hmm. because of, like, knowing her in person and getting to know, like, what her drag represents in the aesthetic. And I just think we're at a perfect time where, and I hate to compare her to this, but, like, a new age Sharon Needles, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, not so harsh. Like, not so harsh as Sharon.
No, one that's just more articulate and more forthcoming to the political climates that we're going through, you know, and a good representation of intelligence and art and drag, and just a little bit of focus off of the party drag scene, you know what I mean?
And you think that's what she brings?
Yeah, absolutely. I think she brings, like, a progressivism to drag that is hand-in-hand with the progressivism that we see our community building into, hopefully, you know, mm-hmm. and also a resist that our community is really trying to push. So, I don't know, I think she represents a lot, weirdly.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Sasha fan. Like, I'm just trying to suck her dick daily, you know?
She's got a long-term partner, though, I believe, so, you know, that's a non-starter. what do you mention the political climate in America at the minute? Obviously, watching here in Britain from afar, it's an unusual situation to say the least. What do you make of Trump and everything that's happening in America at the moment?
Well, to me, it's like Trinity Taylor became president. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Someone that's dumb and that's just really excited they got on reality TV or they wouldn't have a chance in life.
It's just really, I mean, does it feel weird day to day? Do you know what I mean? All this news and all the things that are happening?
Honestly, it's absolutely terrifying every single day of my life, I feel.
Really?
Especially in the LGBTQ community, because him and Mike Pence and several of the, you know, political figures in our political climate right now are just very anti-LGBT, you know, and there's a lot of things that are being tested that we've actually had passed for a long time or mm-hmm. that we just recently did get passed that we celebrated, and now we're living in fear that those things could be taken away. I just hope that nothing's able to come into fruition without fight and without resistance and without, I don't know, it's terrifying.
I think my feelings on it is that it will eventually be fine, but there's going to be a big fight in the meantime. That's what it looks like from afar, I think. It's just...
I think I would agree. I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. It's odd. It's odd, and it's also fascinating television. So, you know, it's like RuPaul's Drag Race, you know?
Exactly.
Eureka, thanks so much for speaking to us this evening. Best of luck with season 10. Can't wait to see it when it's out. I guess it'll be next year. And I hope your knee heals quickly and you're back on top.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm not normally a top, but I can give it a shot.
Back on bottom, whatever.
Yeah. Now, honey, I'm back to second dick, so my knee's doing pretty good, girl.
Yes, that's what I want to hear.
I'm so blessed to be a part of your show.
No, thanks so much for coming on. And if you ever come over to the UK, we'd love to get you in the studio. That'd be great.
Yeah, I would love that. I love to come see you all.
Definitely. That sounds awesome. Thanks so much, Eureka.
All right. Have a good day.
Cheers. Bye.
Or night.
Bye. Yeah, night right. Now. Yeah. Bye-bye. Bye. It's official, I am obsessed with Eureka. Usually I play a little song now, but we are so jam-packed with guests this evening that we actually have our already third guest on the line, known as the facilitator, Jerry Sargent. Hello.
Hi there, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm awesome, man.
Usually I would have got a little time to do an intro, but I'm reading your bio. You should really give an introduction yourself. It sounds like quite an incredible life you've had.
Yeah, it's been a pretty interesting, crazy old journey. I heal people. I mm-hmm. facilitate the healing of people using energy now. But I used to be a criminal. I used to smuggle drugs and guns for a living. So I've had a kind of a huge upheaval and 180-degree kind of shift in my life.
Yeah, it doesn't get more dramatic than that, I don't think.
No, it's been a crazy ride, mate. It's been a crazy ride.
How do you go from something swinging so severely from one to the other? What happened?
There was four kind of major incidents in my life. The first one was kind of probably the biggest one, which was a car crash. Mm-hmm. I was in Romania with my ex-wife and children, and I was asleep in the passenger seat of a taxi.
Right.
And we're driving down the road early in the morning, and I hear a loud crash. I wake up. Taxi swaying from side to side, there's glass, there's wind, and I think to myself, man, we're in a bad accident. We're either going to hit the oncoming traffic or the car's going to flip over.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden we came to a grinding halt. And I looked in the back and our daughter was climbing out from underneath the driver's seat. My ex-wife, Laura, she had our son, Josh, in her arms. Their mouths were full of glass. I looked at the taxi driver and he looked petrified. And then I looked in front of me. There was no other cars on the road. There was a hole in the windscreen. And there was blood running down my face. But it wasn't my blood.
Right.
And I was thinking, you know, what's happened? So I've got out of the car. I've looked about 30 metres back up the road. And there was two ladies lying on the side of the road. I've looked a bit further up the road and there was what looked like a dead body. And what had happened is three ladies were crossing the road in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
The first one got hit clean on. She came through the windscreen, smacked me in the face, got flipped up over the car. Second lady had her ankles cut clean off and the third lady was physically okay.
Wow.
So I've got out of the car, walked past these two ladies, one with the ankles cut off, because a guy had come out from a nearby factory and he was on the phone. I thought, there's nothing I can really do. I was kind of fixated on this dead body. So I've walked towards it, I've got closer and closer, and got within about 10 metres, and I saw this lady's spirit, like, floating above her body. And up until that point, I used to think anything, you know, spiritual was a load of rubbish. It was mumbo-jumbo. It was, you know, if people were talking that kind of talk, they should be in a straitjacket.
Mm-hmm.
But there was me, kind of, this, you know, walking along the road, seeing this with my own physical eyes. So I got closer and closer. And then this spirit, this soul, just fizzled off into the ether. I've looked down at the lady's body. Her legs were wrapped up over her head. She's completely smashed to bits. And it looked like someone had taken an old car to the scrap heap. Like the soul had no longer any use for this physical vehicle, this vessel.
Mm-hmm.
So I've looked down at the body, looked up to the skies, and just kind of just said, thank you. I just felt very blessed to be part of this experience, really. And then a few months later, my ex-missus, she had a headache, and I just thought to myself I could take it out of her head. So I've walked over to her, I saw the headache, it was green, I just grabbed it and pulled it out, and she got up off the bed like she didn't have a headache in the first place. And that was kind of, you know, it just spiraled a whole chain of events, really.
That's a very unusual experience to have. Did it scare you when it happened, both of those experiences?
Not really. The strange thing was, with the car accident, it just felt so natural and normal. I know that sounds a bit weird. I mean, I don't smoke, but when I looked down at this lady's body, I just wanted to grab a cigarette and light it up like it was a celebration. It just felt like, you know, I just felt very, very, like, blessed to have experienced this. In my kind of reality, it was as though the lady had given up her life to show me this. It was like the universe smacking around the face and saying, come on, Jerry, wake up.
Right.
You know, you we're so much more than these physical beings. We're atoms and molecules in continuous movement and space. We're energy. So that it just seemed very natural. And then the incident with my wife and the headache, I don't know, it just happened, and then I kind of brushed it off.
Right.
And then just carried on doing what I was doing. And then loads more things happened until it was like I kind of got forced into this, like guided and railroaded into this. And, you know, people were dropping out of my life, things were going wrong, and I kind of just got taken on this journey, and it just happened.
And what has that led you to do now? Explain to me what Star Magic Healing is.
So another one of the experiences that happened to me, which is a little bit crazy to some people, but I'll explain it anyway.
Hmm.
We moved to New Zealand shortly after this incident with my wife's headache. And a few more things happened there, but one of the key ones was I was meditating in a friend's garden. He had a pyramid in his garden. And I was meditating with my eyes open, and a little space pod, the only way I can describe it, came and landed in the garden next to me. And there was a blue being inside of it. So I've gone and I've jumped inside of this little space pod, and we've traveled through this tunnel of light to another planet in another star system. It took about 3 or 4 seconds. We traveled through this tunnel of light, landed, and I met these beings there and had this big download of, like, geometry and hieroglyphs. So to cut a long story short, the reason I call it star magic is because this extraterrestrial light frequency that got downloaded into my body when I was on this planet is what I use to heal people.
Right.
So it's a light frequency. You know, I work at distance. We can remove, you know, all sorts of things. I mean, if someone's got a tumor, we can take it out, you know, even if they're in Australia. We don't need to be there with them. You know, we've healed eyesights, all sorts of things. So what I do now is I just train people to use it. I don't do any one-on-one healings anymore. I just travel the world training people. And the plan is, over the course of the next few years, to start setting up healing facilities around the planet. We only started the business 2 years ago. I've written and published a book on it. And we've trained 150 people in the last 12 months. We've got another 200 to train over the next 12 months. And we've been in so many different countries. It's just kind of just taken off. It's crazy.
What you're explaining is quite hard for the average person to comprehend, I think. I mean, I find it hard to comprehend. Is that something that is problematic, criticism and misunderstanding?
Well, if you can imagine, when I first started this journey, you know, I was a criminal. So all of my mates thought I'd completely lost it, you know, and my group of friends that I had then, they've fizzled down to pretty much zero.
Right.
I've got a whole completely new mix of people that I kind of interact with.
Uh-huh.
When I'm explaining my story, you might get a few chuckles, a few laughs, but, you know.
Is that hard to see?
Not really. For me, I just take it on the chin. You know, I mean, if you'd have told me about this 10 years ago, I'd have thought you were a complete nutter.
Right.
But now I'm here actually explaining this to you. So I've been through the whole spectrum of being a completely non-believer to someone that completely knows this stuff inside out. And there's lots of people that are coming out now that have worked on other planets, on what some people would call spaceships. There's lots of extraterrestrial life in the universe. We're not the only planet. There's trillions of planets just in our galaxy.
Okay.
And what we do works. It's effective. It's proven, tried, and tested. We've got lots of medical evidence. And, yeah, it works.
Wow. And so you've written a book, is that right? Explain to me what's in the book.
The book is called Star Magic Heal the Universe. And it's a book which explains in detail from A to Z, 1 to 100, exactly how to use star magic. So it's full of diagrams, it's full of explanations, it's in noddy format, anyone can use it. You can pick that book up and you can learn to heal yourself, you could heal your friends, your family, and you could go out and use this stuff. Like, for me, I just want everyone to experience this because it's powerful, and I want everyone to step into their power, because so many people are walking around this planet lost or trying to please other people. And
they're not living
an authentic life, you know. And what I want people to do is to step into their power. And this healing frequency, it acts so fast. It gives you a complete energetic shift. So you come onto the frequency of unconditional love, which is the underlying frequency that comes through everything. And as soon as you hit that frequency, boom, your whole paradigm shifts. Your whole perception of reality changes, and you just start to become whole, more of who you are.
Okay. Wow, it definitely sounds like something that people would want to achieve in their life. It's very interesting. It's an interesting area that I am unfamiliar with, and that I should probably find out more about.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to our website, which is starmagichealing.com, there's loads of like simple to use free tools that anyone can plug into.
Okay.
There's meditations, there's all sorts, so people can just go on there. Even if someone just wants to relax a little bit more at work, or they just want to boost up their business performance, or they want to improve their relationships, you know, this frequency can shift all of these emotional blockages.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take a look after the show today. Jerry, thanks so much for talking to us.
No problem.
What's your website?
It's starmagichealing.com.
Great. Well, I'll be sure to check it out. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on, Steve. Take care.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye-bye.
My breath, scared to rock the boat and make a mess, so I said quietly, agreed politely, I guess that I forgot I had a choice, I let you push me past the breaking point, I stood for nothing, so I fell for everything, you held me down, but I got up,
very raw. Now, that was quite an intense chat I just had on the phone. So I'm hoping that my final guest will not be quite so intense.
I'll try my best.
Thank you very much. Zanna van Dyck, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Really good. Great to have you on the show.
I'm very happy to be here.
You're an incredibly fit, attractive lady.
I'm very tall as well.
I'm very tall.
I'm surprised you haven't commented on that yet.
Well, it's rude.
Yeah, everybody comments on it. It's like my most common sentence I hear in my life.
How tall are you?
6'2".
So that is tall for a lady.
Large and in charge. That's what I like to say. Large and in charge.
Has that affected your kind of fitness journey? So you are well known as being kind of a blogger and fitness
person.
I was going to say expert person. Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Does being tall have an effect on that?
You know what? I think it's just all part of the brand. That's what I like to tell myself. I think being tall is a good thing because it means you can't avoid me. When you see me, it's like, bam, there she is.
Bright blonde hair.
6'2", there's a lot of her.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's a good thing. That's what I tell myself. I mean, I can't change it, so.
No, you certainly can't. How did you get into this kind of world?
Well, actually, it's a bit of a weird journey. I'm going to put it in a little nutshell for you. I studied speech and language therapy at university, specialising in stroke rehab. Don't worry, we're not going to get deep. And then I decided, actually, I'm going to go somewhere completely different and try and do fitness. I gave myself 1 year to give it a go, set up an Instagram, and kind of bish, bash, bosh, Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt. It all grew quite fast. And after a year, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try and make this work. So I was working as a PT and then all the blogging stuff took off and then 2016 was a bit of a whirlwind and now I'm a full-time blogger.
So what happened in 2016 that kind of pushed it, do you think?
So there was, do you know the Sunday Times Style magazine?
I do.
They popped me on the cover of that, didn't they? So I was like...
Oh, well.
Yeah, I was like, well, this is fab. And after that, everything just sort of went trajectoried straight up. So... Yeah, for me, it was being on the cover of Sunday Times Style magazine.
So what was that experience like?
Well, it was a surprise.
Did you know it was going to happen?
No, I didn't.
You actually didn't?
No, I did the photo shoot and they were like, oh, it's going to be two of you on the cover. And I was like, okay, great, great. And then 2 days before they sent me the cover and it was just me. I was like,
what about the other poor girl?
I felt so bad, mate. I felt so bad. I was like, sorry about that, but it's great for me.
So what happened after that?
Well, I got signed to an agent. I got a book deal and then loads of cool. And I got signed to Adidas. And I was like, well, thanks Sunday Times Style.
That's gone pretty well.
Yeah, so thank you Sunday Times Style.
So do you still personal train or has that kind of gone by the wayside now?
I think I still do. I don't think that I can actually call myself a fitness expert without personal training. I think that'd be a little bit hypocritical.
Yes, true.
So yes, I do still personal train, albeit not as frequently as I used to.
Fair enough. There's a lot of... bloggers and fitness people mm-hmm. around at the moment. Mm-hmm. What do you make of the whole clean eating? Or I was reading something recently about mono meals and all the. There's so many fads.
So many fads.
What do you make of all of that?
I'm not a fad woman.
I'm not faddy.
No, zero fads for me. I'm more of a balanced kind of gal. So my approach to life is moderation, not deprivation. So I literally don't cut anything out because I think as soon as I tell myself I can't have chocolate, it's all I think about all day, every day. And every time I see a chocolate bar, it's like it's speaking to me. So I just say everything in moderation. And it's just about having that good relationship with food where you can have things in moderation. You can just have one biscuit and not the whole pack.
Yeah, but this is something that
it's a challenge.
But is that a challenge? Because that's actually like the one thing that I've slowly probably gained weight over like the last kind of 5 years. And I'm not massive, but, you know, slowly. And my problem is that I'm not a one biscuit person.
You're not a one biscuit person. You know what? You just gotta get single servings, single serving packs of things. That's what you gotta do.
Do you think that's the way
if
forward?
You get a sharing pack. You ain't gonna share it, are you?
No, never do.
So single serving, just one little chocolate bar.
But do you think that because the problem is that so many people are influenced by what they see on Instagram and stuff these days, it's not healthy. Is it? I don't...
What's not healthy?
These fad things.
Oh, God, they are not healthy. And you know what? I just think, ultimately, you've got your whole life to get fit and healthy. So if you're doing something that you think, I can't keep this up, this is horrible, I'm hating this, you're not going to be able to do it forever. So you're not going to be able to stay that level of healthy, in inverted commas, forever, because it literally is a fad. You can only do that for maybe 3 weeks, 12 weeks. you want to stay fit till you're 60.
Yeah.
So you need to try and do something which you actually enjoy and you can actually sustain. So I think for me, it's all about finding something that you love. So if all the girls on Instagram or boys on Instagram are going off and doing CrossFit and you don't like CrossFit,
don't have to do it. Yeah.
You can do something else and nobody's judging you. So I think it's just a case of take inspiration from Instagram, but don't put all your eggs in that basket. You can do your own journey, you know?
Yeah, interesting. I like that train of thought. You mentioned when you came in that you've been up since very early this morning. What is a typical day like for you?
You know what? It varies every single day. I do get up at 5:20 every day. That's like my standard alarm. And I usually train at 6 a.m.
Do you go to a gym or do you have a gym at home? Or
I train in a gym, okay. Just a mainstream gym. So I lift weights, and then every so often I might do a HIIT class. I teach HIIT classes, so I might go to one of those. And then my day varies because I am a blogger, so it could be anything. I could be on a shoot. I was on a photo shoot today.
Yep.
I could be on the radio.
Yeah.
I could be writing content. I could be filming content. I could be just doing emails. I also have an events company. I could be organising events. I could be writing articles. You never know.
Okay, so you're busy.
At the moment, it's quite busy. But yeah.
But you're enjoying it, right?
I'm loving every moment. Was
this obviously with something like Instagram? No, it didn't exist like 10 years ago.
No.
So no one can really plan for a career like this.
No.
What do you think your long-term thing will be? Because there's no guarantee that it will. I mean, once you've got a certain amount of followers, you're fine. But you know, there's no guarantee that it will last forever.
Thanks for scaring me. Great.
You know what I mean, though? You know what I mean, though? It's
I know what you mean.
You have
to
keep fresh. You have to keep fresh.
I think for me, I've made certain moves with what I'm doing which make me feel like I have a sense of security.
Okay.
So I've done a book, which to me makes me feel like, all right, I've done something that's in the mainstream media and it's solid and it's there and it ain't going to disappear.
Yeah.
I also work with brands like Adidas that I'm like, that gives me a certain sense of credibility. It makes me feel like I'm going to be around for a while. But otherwise, besides that, I just kind of feel like you've got to go with the flow because you never really know where it's going to go. And I'm somebody who pre-plans everything in my life. But I kind of accepted that my career, I actually can't really do that.
Yeah.
I just have to go with it because new opportunities come every day and you never know what's going to happen. So it's scary in one sense, but it's exciting in another sense. So.
And also you were involved in the Girl Gains.
Yeah,
I am. Movement.
Yes, I am.
What I mean, that definitely has longevity. You know, that's
yes.
There's definitely a thing these days. I work in the celebrity world, so you see a lot of people now saying they don't want to be skinny; they want to be strong. Is it?
Yeah,
it's along those lines,
yeah.
isn't it?
My book's actually called Strong. But yeah, Girl Gains is a movement which is all about empowering women. So we talk about basically educating, empowering, and inspiring women to love their bodies and just love their lives and to have a positive mindset. So we do this through events. We have ambassadors all across the globe, from Australia through to America to Switzerland to France, all over the UK. And these girls are basically there to create a community of women who support each other, because I think sometimes in fitness, if you're the only one in your group of friends who's into it, you can kind of feel a little bit alienated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very lucky because I have a lot of friends in this industry now, but before that it kind of feels like, oh, nobody else gets why I want to order a green juice, you know? So it's just quite nice to have other people who are there and who want to support you on your journey.
Yeah.
And not even just with fitness, just with life. So that's what Girl Gains is all about, just kind of bringing people together.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favourite things that I do, for sure.
Is there competition between people in the industry, or is it quite
an open...
Yeah, well, and in the fitness kind of industry. Or is it quite open and balanced? Are people friendly and supportive?
I think I'm very lucky because I'm in the friendly, supportive area where it's lots of women just being like, yes, everybody else,
you can do it.
You ought to do well. And everybody's just cheering each other on. I think that's literally amazing. And I'm so lucky. But I think I do look around and I think probably as other people compete, but I've just surrounded myself with some pretty awesome people, so I don't have to experience that, which is great.
Yeah, that's
really
true.
Great.
Because you see it so often, right? Mm. Like people tearing each other down and...
Yeah, I've seen it, but I ain't involved.
Okay, good. I like to hear that, though, because it's easy to get swallowed up, especially if you feel like you're competing and you're trying to make a name for yourself and all those kind of things.
Especially when it's your job, like social media, it's very easy for it to like engross you and take over your life. But I just try and make an effort to make sure that I have so many other things going on that aren't just social media, which means that I don't get sucked into any drama or anything that's happening on there.
Fair enough. What do your family make of what you do?
You know what? When I first did it, my mum was like, what are you doing? Because I'd just been to university and studied a 4-year degree and I'd got first, and mum was like, you need to go and be a speech therapist, you need to go and work in a hospital. And I was like, nah, I'm going to move to London and try and work on Instagram. Imagine what, like, my mum was thinking. She was like, what the hell? But it actually worked out well, and now my mum and dad are my biggest fans. My mum, God bless her if she's listening, she stalks the living daylights out of me.
She so she will probably like is listening.
Everything. Oh, she will be. Hello, Helen.
But hi, Helen.
She she stalks living daylights out of me, and she loves it. She knows what I'm doing before I know what I'm doing.
Oh, really?
But yeah, it's great. I'm actually hosting an event this weekend in Yorkshire, and she's coming to watch me speak, which will be really nice because I don't think she's actually seen me speak before.
Okay.
All my events are usually in London mm-hmm. or somewhere else.
What is it you're doing?
So I do, like, basically events to bring women together of my own, as well as Girl Gains. So in Yorkshire, it's a brunch event, because I don't know if you've heard of London Brunch Guide. I set that up.
Okay.
So I'm doing a brunch event with, like, brunch items that I've designed, and then a talk about female empowerment.
Nice.
Yeah, so hopefully my mum is going to love it.
I mean, it's really impressive, though, to be honest, that you've managed to cover so many different areas and you're making a success of it, and it's
sometimes
very impressive.
It feels like I'm drowning.
As long as your head's above water, your body can be flapping around,
exactly,
you know?
Like a little duck.
So where can we find you? What's the website name?
So my main platform is Instagram at Zanna Van Dyke. That is very hard to spell. Just type in Zanna and you'll find me.
Zanna.
I'm also on YouTube, blog, all the social medias, all of it.
Have a little gander. Exciting. No, it's really nice to meet you, and thanks so much for coming
thanks
into
for
the studio
me on.
This
it's been
evening.
A pleasure.
Sorry, it's been, we've had a very packed show this evening.
No, it's fine with me.
So, yeah.
I'm enjoyed every moment.
Good, I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that. Cool. Well, thank you very much for joining us. I'll make sure to follow you so
do
that
it.
I can get some tips for myself, because I need to get back into that fitness regime.
# Fitspo.
Maybe I can't join Girl Gains, but
Guy Gains.
My hairy chest. I don't know if I can really join Guy Gains either.
Beard Gains. Strong beard.
That I can do very easily. Zanna, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Cheers. So thanks everyone for joining me this evening. Just me, no Lizzie Cundy this evening. It's been a pleasure. I'm sure she will be back next week. I say that now, who knows what's going to happen. So thanks everyone, and until next time, goodbye. I was walking down the street the other day, trying to distract myself, but then I see your face. Oh wait, that's someone else. Trying to play a coy, trying to make it disappear, but just like the Battle of Troy, there's nothing subtle here. In my room there's a king-size space, bigger than it used to be. If you want, you can rent that place. Call me an amenity. Even if it's in my dreams. Ooh, you're taking up a fraction of my mind. Ooh, every time I watch you slipping tight. Oh, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying. Oh, trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying not to think about you. No, 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 not to think about you. Oh, no, 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 I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying. Oh, trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying not to give in to you. No, 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 not to give in to you. Oh, with my feelings on fire, guess I'm a bad liar. I see how your tension builds, it's like looking in a mirror. Your touch like a happy pill, but still all we do is fear. What could possibly happen next? Can we focus on the love? Paint my kiss across your chest. If you're the art, I'll be the brush. Ooh, you're taking up a fraction of my mind. Ooh, every time I watch you slip and tighten. Oh, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying. I'm trying.
Guess I'm a bad liar. And oh, baby, let's make reality, actuality, a reality. Oh, baby, let's make reality, actuality, a reality.
Presents
Politics on Foo Bar here, and I've got Hannah Jewell in the studio. Welcome.
And what I love is Trump Senior's coming to the defense of his son. He says, "My son is a high quality person, and I applaud his transparency." I love the, like, a high quality person, like he's a fine cut of meat
or something.
He's,
you know,
like a delicious steak.
I think Trump had his Trump Steaks brand at one point. Actually.
Oh no, yeah. He only eats well done steaks, and it's kind of ruined steak for me, by the way. But
I'm sorry about that.
Every Friday, Politics on FUBAR from 1 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.